To coin a phrase, we've got a lot of catching up to do. Our guest is a returning champ, though it's been a while, from her days at the Oregonian, Sports Illustrated, now USA Today. Her current piece on the next star of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, Sophia Smith, is tremendous. Follow on Twitter, use the handle at Lindsay_Schnell. Lindsay Schnell, it's been far too long. How's life been treating you?
Hey, it's been pretty good. I was thrilled when you reached out. I had the same thought. Oh, it's been too long since I've had a good talk with Steve Tannen.
You know, I want to get to hoops first because you're an OSU grad. You're just wired into not only Scott Ruick's program, Kelly Graves. Beavs had their first losing season in a while. And you're looking at the team, Linz. Reagan Beer's terrific. Talia Van Olhoven, outstanding. Their big Mitrovic is gone. I know they brought in some transfers. They signed the young woman from the Czech Republic. So what do you make about their chance to kind of get back in the picture in what is always a really, really tough Pac-12?
Oh, I think they're going to be just fine. I mean, I think that I had this conversation with a few people about Oregon State and Oregon because the Ducks had a little bit of a down year last season too. And I think that a huge advantage both programs have is they have really good X's and O's coaches in Scott Ruick and Kelly Graves. So I think Oregon State's going to be really tough. You know, obviously, like you said, Reagan Beers comes back. But to me, the most exciting thing is that Tamia Gardner will finally be fully healthy. You know, she showed flashes last year of just absolute brilliance. I don't remember who they were playing, but I was at Gill watching them, sitting next to Sydney Weiss, former All-American, and Tamia caught the ball in the high post, turned, jab step, and took someone to the basket after she got them to rise up defensively, and Sid and I looked at each other and made eye contact, and I said, "That's a top five pick move," and she said, "No kidding." So I think it's going to be really exciting. You know, I just love in the last few years how women's basketball has just taken over our state. I think it's so cool that two of the best programs in the country are right here in our backyard, and I don't think that that's going to change. You know, I think Oregon State's going to be just fine. I think Oregon's going to be fine. Oregon should have made the tournament. We're in good shape, and I love it.
Yeah, you know, about that, you know, Oregon obviously did not overcome, at least according to the selection committee, I wanted to call it that mid-January to mid-February swoon. And then, you know, when you think after Sabrina and Satu and Ruthie left, they had those class of five stars. And then with the departure of Tahina Pau-Pau, they're gone. India Rogers is gone. Chance Gray was excellent. But so I guess different program, 45 miles south, same question. What makes you think that they'll be right back? Because I want to use the phrase program in flux a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that that's fair. Look, the transfer portal has changed the game for everyone, and there's going to be a little bit of a learning process for a while. You know, I think losing Tahina was really surprising, Personally, I was like shocked that she landed at South Carolina. You know, I have to be honest and tell you, I'm not a huge Indy Rogers fan. She's very talented, but I think that sometimes she would get so competitive and so frustrated that the team, which was kind of young, would follow her lead. And I think that they will be better without her. I know it's easy to say that, you know, from a distance when she's like hitting game winners. Pretty important, but I think the future is bright. Grace Van Sluten is so talented. She's going to be a star in this conference for a long time. And then, you know, Chance Gray making I think it's the AmeriCup team.
Yeah.
And that's going to be huge for her to go play with Team USA, to play with all that talent. That's big for your confidence. You know, she is a great shooter, but I think she can do more and she'll be able to show that this coming season. So I think it's, you know, 2 years ago, Oregon State lost a bunch of transfers and everyone was freaking out and now everything's fine. And I think it's the same thing at Oregon. Again, Kelly is a really good coach. He won a lot of games before he came to Oregon. When he was at Gonzaga, he's won a lot of games at Oregon. And sometimes, you know, you just go through weird cycles. I mean, I always think about the Oregon State men's baseball team won back-to-back national championships and then missed the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You know, sometimes there's like a recalibration that has to go on in the locker room. But I think both these programs are going to be really, really good, and I am really excited to watch them battle next year. You know, it's been 3 years now, I think, that the Pac-12 regular season title has not been in the state of Oregon. I think it's time it comes back.
Okay. Talking with Lindsey Schnell, USA Today. Now, whenever I talk about Sabrina, I always say watching her geeks me out. And, you know, at my age, the first star I watched was Mickey Mantle, but she just does something when I watch her. You followed her career. You followed Satu. They go 1-2 in their draft. Satu Sabali just named an all-star starter. I'm going to bet Sabrina ends up a reserve. Just at the fan in you, the basketball lover, how cool has it been to see them blossom, not only as players, but they seem to be just classy professionals?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm thrilled with how Satu is playing because she's on my WNBA fantasy team, and she's been crushing it. I think it's really incredible. And, you know, I have to say that when Sabrina's first year in the league, you know, she got hurt. And then last year, I still think she wasn't completely playing at full strength. And I wondered if, like, how she was going to translate for a while. And I think now looking back on it, she was just, like, much more hurt than anyone realized. I think it's really incredible to see what the two of them have done. You know, Satu is going to be a big time player on the international level also. I think Sabrina has a great shot also to make the U.S. Olympic team next summer. Is that right? Next summer?
Yeah.
the Tokyo Olympics not being played in 2020 threw me off. But I just think it's so fun, and I think you're right that they're both tremendous ambassadors for the game within their respective pro communities now, with Sabrina in New York and Satu in Dallas. Obviously, they're still really connected to the program here in Eugene, and I think that it's huge that we see, you know, for a long time, it felt like some of the only players who were really excelling in the WNBA were from UConn. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of players from UConn in the league. But when you look up and down the rosters now and you see the leading scorers and the all-stars, it's really cool to see more variety. And I just think that Sabrina had so much name recognition going into the league. I mean, there are very few players that we just call them by one name, and we've been calling her just Sabrina since she was a freshman. And you know, next year with her shoe launching, like, all she's doing is bringing more people into the game, young girls, but also young guys. Like, I think tons of guys like watching her play too. To me, her basketball IQ is just off the charts, and it's really fun to watch someone who's that smart.
Let's get to the piece on Sophia Smith, who won a national title at Stanford, sniper for the Portland Thorns, now a member of our national team. So, Lindsey, sometimes you got to understand other people might just be catching up. She was the league player of the month, and just now in her finale before the World Cup scored a hat trick. Just what kind of player, what kind of season is she having for the Thorns?
Hey, listen, I'm playing catch up. Like, I didn't pay attention to soccer. I didn't follow it super closely. I mean, obviously, in Portland, I live in a soccer city.
Sure.
But I wrote this profile because Jake Zivin, who is a very good friend of mine, told me to do it. He said, you know, she's going to be the best player in the world by the end of the summer, most likely. She's just about to take off. You should profile her. You're here in the city, you know. Went to my editor and Jake must have like been in cahoots or something. My editor had the same idea and got to know her. And then one thing that I love is, and I think there's probably a lot of people that listen to your show that are in this same boat, is like, I think it's really cool to be a sports fan and constantly learn more about other games. You know, when 10 years ago, I never watched tennis. I didn't know anything about tennis. I didn't care about tennis. Now I watch every major. Like, and sometimes I just have the tennis channel on in the background. I'm really into it. So Sophia Smith is this incredibly talented young girl. You know, it's funny because as a basketball junkie, like, her dad played basketball at the University of Wyoming. One of her older sisters played at Northern Colorado. And Soph, who is probably the best pure athlete in their family, she was a basketball player too early on. And then when she decided to give up basketball just to focus on soccer, you know, her dad was sitting there thinking, my kid could be a D1 athlete someday. And when they told me this story, I was like, so what you're saying is Sophia Smith could be the point guard right now for the Oregon State women's basketball team if she had just stuck with that sport. I mean, it's turned out well for her, but, you know, she's extraordinarily talented. She is also someone who's a great ambassador for her sport, purely from, you know, an athletic point of view. You know, she scored a hat trick the other day. Well, her first goal she scored with her right foot, and her second goal she scored with her left foot. And you would never know that one was less dominant than the other watching her. So she's going to play on the best team in the world, and she doesn't have to cover anything up. She doesn't have to be better than usual. You know, she can just be herself. And I think that, and I asked her this Friday night after she scored that hat trick. That was their send-off game. Obviously, there's a few other players going to the World Cup, including Crystal Dunn, who also plays for the U.S. Women's National Team, and then Christine Sinclair, who's like a legend in our state, played at University of Portland a million years ago. She's been around a long time. She's going to her 6th World Cup, I want to say. It's crazy. She's been to a lot of World Cups, maybe her 5th. But, you know, I asked Soph, like, do you think that you are an even more confident player after getting called up to the national team? Even though she knew that phone call was going to come, when it's official, and she said, absolutely. And she said, and I wanted to show people like that it was right for me to be on the team, and I wanted to play like I'm capable. And when I did my story on her and I spent some time chatting with her, I asked her, do you think you're the best player in the world? And she said yes, in a very thoughtful, humble way. And she said, you know, but part of that is if I really believe that, I have to prove that on the international stage, because it's going to be her World Cup debut and really her like big time international debut. And she laid it out in such a logical way. And I really liked that. I think that too often we teach young women, especially, to not own how good they are. And she does, and she backs it up, and I love that.
By the way, you mentioned Christine Sinclair. I just happened to be reading. She's been on the U.S., the Canadian national team since 2000, Lindsay. So
she's been around a while.
You know, one of the things that you wrote about with Sophia that I thought was really important, when you take a snapshot of women's soccer, we're not talking about a model of diversity here. So
right.
Fair to say at the tender age of 22 that she's not only embracing the spotlight as kind of a rare woman of color, but she's kind of, I should say, she's really embracing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And she has been really upfront about that, about it was hard to be one of the only black girls in this predominantly white sport. And this is something Crystal Dunn, another black woman who's playing on her second or third World Cup team, has talked about also. You know, visibility matters. And, you know, when I just loved the anecdote from Soph's mom about when Soph was little, she went to a game of Abby Wambach. She went to a national team game and she got to meet Abby Wambach. There's a photo of her. It's like all over the internet. And she's around 7 years old in the photo. And, you know, now Sophie will get to be that person for someone. I think she already is. And having this whole group, this might be the most diverse group that the women's national team has ever had. It's important for so many reasons. And it's important, too, that it's not just about these women being role models for young girls, but marketing them is important, too. And I'm just really excited to watch how she just, like, takes off. You know, I love the anecdote in the story about she works at Rover on the side sometimes because she loves dogs and wants to meet dogs and walk dogs. She's not going to be able to do that after this summer, I don't think. She's not going to be anonymous anymore.
No, and as a dog person, I love that aspect. But I kind of want to piggyback on something you said. First of all, the photos. It seems like Sophia and her family just had a knack for her getting pictures. You mentioned Abby, Becky Hammond. And I would imagine that you had a lot of interaction and a willing mom to share some of these awesome pictures.
Oh, yeah. It was very clear when I asked her for some photos that I was not the first one, because she pretty quickly sent me a link with 125 pictures. And then it was funny because I said, okay, I'm going to try to display all of these by, I'm going to post a different one every time she scores. And then when she's going off the other night with her hat trick, I texted her mom and said, well, if she keeps playing like this, we might need more baby pictures. To which her mom immediately replied, don't worry, I have plenty more. And I think that it's really cool, you know, for their sisters. Like, I think we've all seen, you know, we all know families where all the kids play sports and they were always doing it together. And now for her family to be able to experience the World Cup together, you know, when years ago all three of them were running around the soccer field or watching Becky Hammond, like, that's just really cool. And I don't know about you, but one thing I've always thought about that I love about covering college sports is you get this opportunity to get to know these people a lot of times really before they blow up. Like Marcus Mariota, I think, is a good example. Like, yeah, don't get me wrong, he was very well known in college, you know, but that was like after he won the Heisman. Like beforehand, we were all around him every day, got to know him, got to know his family. I just think that's really cool. And then like to watch him now, you know, in the NBA. And I think about that with so many different athletes that I've covered over the years. And Soph obviously is not in college anymore, but she's still really young at just 22. And so to be able to kind of just like watch their rise, I think that's a privilege, to be frank.
And the last thing is to kind of wrap up what we've been talking about. You mentioned you weren't really big on soccer. I've never been an aficionado, but not a novice. And you look at this team, obviously Megan Rapinoe is no longer the high-level player. I can't even wrap my brain around the fact that Alex Morgan is now 33. So while we're talking about Sophia as an up-and-comer, I mean, the coach, this team, and she's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, they really need for her to be a scorer.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is the handoff year, you know. This is when we're going to see a new generation of players take over, you know, Sophia, Trinity Rodman, Naomi Girma. Like, this is their time to learn how to excel on this stage, because it's going to be their team going forward. So I think that's really cool. It's kind of weird to be in this like handoff space, you know, and like you mentioned Rapinoe, another person beloved in our state, obviously played at UP. Her twin sister still lives in Portland, so sometimes you'll see Megan around town. She's someone that she's not going to play a ton. She's there more for a leadership role. I mean, she's very good at penalty kicks, but she'll play some, but she's there partially to like play the role in handing off and teaching. You know, we've all seen it, right? Like, think about football. You bring in this great recruiting class. That's amazing. But it takes time to understand how to play at the Division I level, how to excel, how hard you have to play the whole time. And it's that on steroids when we're talking about the international
right.
level. And so I fully anticipate that Sophia is going to be, you know, a superstar going forward, and this is just going to be the beginning of it.
Yep, looking forward to this World Cup. I love our U.S. Women's National Team. Folks, she is Lindsay Schnell. Check out this piece on Sophia Smith and all the terrific work she does for USA Today. Keep up with her on Twitter. The handle is at Lindsay_Schnell. Lindsay, great catching up. Much appreciate the time, and I vow we shall not go this long between speaking again. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. You be well.
Hey, you too. Now we can do an entire breakdown when it's Oregon versus Oregon State women's basketball time again.
I look forward to it. You have a good one, Lindsay. Thanks again.
You too. Bye.
All right. Take it easy.